Blog Talk Radio. Hello. 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 Hello to each and every one of you who are with us on this morning and those that will be listening to us via the archives. We are so blessed this morning. And I was spending time with God on this week. Not that I don't spend time with him all the time, but just the fact that I have some time that I dedicated to God was just so awesome. Appreciate everything that God has been doing for us, with us, and within us. I want to thank God for another Sunday. Wow. We've had, if you think about it, quite a few Sundays in our lives. We could count up the Sundays that we have. We'd have so much to be grateful for. We'd have so much to thank God for. I woke up this morning thinking about the beauty that lies ahead for us in heaven. And the beauty of God, the beauty of our family members being without pain, without discomfort, just the beauty of it. Because, you know, you wake up sometime missing your mom, your dad, your sisters, your brothers, your cousins, your aunts, your uncles, nieces, nephews, you know, et cetera, friends, so-called friends, so. I just want to thank God for that. Well, I'm going to check and see if Minister Sheila is on the line. And if she is, I'm going to ask her to pray for the service on this morning. And if she's not, I will see if someone else would be willing to pray. And if not, you know, I will pray. I thank God for the awesome privilege of praying. Minister Sheila, are you on the line? I know she was on the road for a few days, and she had went somewhere to pick up something down in Alabama, Arkansas, or somewhere. I'm not quite sure. Okay, is there anyone else on the line that would like to pray for the service and the program and the people or whatever else God is giving you to pray for on this morning?
Well, good morning.
Good morning, ma'am.
This is Minister Margot McCoy. I will pray. I tuned in ready to listen, but if the Lord is asking me to step up, I will do so and do so. To the best of my ability. So we go before God this morning, thanking him for another Sunday. As I was reminded, this is the first Sunday in March, and so God, we thank you for another first. But God, we ask you to help us to remember that we must put you first in our lives and in our hearts and on our minds and on our lips. God, help us to put you first as we go before you this day. Lord, we just thank you. We praise you. We worship you. We adore you. We thank you for loving us, for showing us a love that is really unimaginable because we can't understand how much you love us. And we thank you, God, because you made a sacrifice by giving us your son, and through him we have life because of his sacrifice, because of Jesus and what he did for us on the cross. We have life. We have that abundant life now, and as Apostle Elect was talking about earlier, we have eternal life to look forward to because of Jesus. And so, God, we thank you again. We thank you because you have a plan. We thank you because we want to be part of your work in this kingdom. We thank you, God, because we want to see your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you, God, because those people that are in this ministry look to you, God. We look to you for direction. We look to you for strength. We look to you, God, in Jesus' name, for comfort, for wisdom, and for discernment. God, all those ministers, all the teachers, all the prophets, all of those associated with this ministry, we bring them before you, and we thank you, God. And we ask you that wherever they are right now, to meet them at that point of need. And beyond that, God, we ask every listener, we ask that every person who listens to this now and in the archives will look to you and put you first. Put you first in their lives, because you will help us to have the victory, because there's victory in you. There's victory in life with you. People talk about their best life, but there is no best life without you, God. Help your children to seek you, because you are there waiting patiently for us to turn again to you, to turn away from all those things that shine and all the things the enemy brings before us and all the whispers and all the lies, to turn again to you and say, here I am, God. Forgive us. Forgive me and help me to seek you the more. Help us, God, to turn over our hearts to you, to turn over our thoughts to you, to turn over our ways to you so that we shall be blessed. God, I ask right now that you touch, anoint, and just appoint Apostle Elect as she goes before us. Let her go before us in boldness. As you said, we could come to your throne in boldness. Help her come before your people with boldness and give us exactly what you have given her to give us on this day. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, I pray and give you the thanks and ask you to hear this prayer and accept it from your humble servant. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. And I thank you for such a wonderful prayer. And I was smiling with such amazement with God. Because of some of the words that God had given you to pray. And it's like we oftentimes say, was she a fly on the wall or was he a fly on the wall? So I thank God for your discernment and your alignment with the prayer on this morning. Well, we're going to get right into the message. And the message is conviction. And I'm sure some of you already knew that. In the world, conviction or a conviction is the result of a formal declaration that someone is guilty of a crime, of a criminal offense. There's a verdict made by a jury or a judge in a court of law that results in the declaration or pronouncement of the person's guilt or innocence, their sentence, their judgment, that's held based off of a popular belief or opinion or an article, or it's based on the defense's or the person's ability to persuade those that have the power to make firm a declaration or pronouncement. And so worldly conviction in the courtroom, in the court of law, as we would say, it's usually saying whether someone is guilty of stealing, murder, perversion, alienation in a marriage, not paying their alimony, palimony, child support, assault and battery, defamation, so many things. Yet people are wrongly and falsely accused, even in the court of law, all the time, believe it or not, and even in the church. where people are excommunicated, demoted, or never recognized, and more. But when it comes to conviction from God, it's always something that's deserved or something that's based on the righteousness of God or the unrighteousness of a person or something. And what I love about conviction when it's dealing with God is that it's something that God uses to keep us on what the world would call straight and narrow, but what I call his grace, his mercy, his redemption plan. On the 2nd of March, when I was seeking God, because I was, you know, I've been praying, asking God about, let me see what you see. Let me hear what you hear, and then give me the ability to handle it. And God's been working with me on that. Because, see, you can see stuff, but it's what a person's doing on the outside, but not what's in their heart. Some people are doing things out of pressure and various things. So what God allowed me to write was, what it mean to set away in and with God? Because as I was seeking God and he was telling me various things, I realized that I was so busy doing work and so much till I was getting it here and there. But I wanted to get the whole picture. I wanted to read and to write whatever he was saying. I wanted to journal whatever God was saying. I wanted to make sure that what he allowed me to share on Facebook versus what he allowed me to share on Sunday mornings with his people would be that for which we all needed. As I was seeking God, and Jesus, of course, sitting on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for me. And I was so happy that I knew that Jesus was making intercession for me and for you and for you and for you. And that his Holy Spirit was teaching us. And that as we would allow the humility of what he was teaching us to lead and guide us, that it would be destroying and disrupting the plans of pride. And so as I was listening to God, I realized that sometimes we need to check ourselves. Sometimes we, in the confidence of God, shift to an arrogance and a disrespect that is not something that God is teaching us. We're doing it in our homes, within our family. And so I said, God, help me. Help me. I don't want to be so familiar with the men and women of God that I'm being rude towards them. I'm being dismissive of the anointing on their lives. God, you called them. God, you chose them. God, you connected them with me, and I don't want to handle them in any manner other than that what you want me to handle them. And I thought about my mentor on the job, Seth Leventhal, and I thought about my mentor in ministry, Apostle Sandra Thomas, and I thought about Pastor Fred, and I thought about my mom, and I thought about my dad and the various lessons that they had taught me. And about even when they taught me about shutting in with God, that means leaving any and every other thing behind. And during this time, people were calling me, they were texting me, they were doing the various things. And during that time that God had me shut away with them, he really shut me away with them. I wouldn't, in some cases, hear the phone, or even if I heard it, I didn't look to see who it was because I knew that I needed to slip away with him secretly. I knew that I needed to see and hear from God. I knew that he was about to unveil some things about me, not about others, but about me. And so he took me to the Lord's Prayer. And then he said, but let me take you to the verses before it. And it says, also when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray publicly and standing in synagogues and on the corner of the street so that they may be seen by men. It didn't say seen by God. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, they already have their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your secret, most private room, close the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of many words. So do not be like them, praying as they do, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. And I sought God, and I said, God, many times when I've prayed, I felt an unctioning to say heal, like there was an echo. I felt an unctioning to say deliver, like it was an echo. God, was I using vain repetition? God, was I doing something that you hadn't asked me to do? Was it something I had learned? And God reminded me that there's echoes in heaven when we pray. That when Minister Margot says heal, and then Minister Sheila says heal, and then Minister Sylvia says heal, and then Dr. Wright says heal, and then Prophet Anton says, heal. And then Prophet Minister Troy says, heal. And then you say, heal. He says, it's echoing. Because many times you're praying the same thing. And so if you're praying and you hear echoes, that's me showing you that there's people praying with you in agreement. Well, when I was praying, I'm going to tell you what I heard echoing, and it scared me. That's right. It scared me. And I asked God, what was that? Who was that? I was praying, and I heard a multitude of women crying, help! 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 And they were distraught, and I just could hear them hollering, help! Help! And I was looking out my window. I actually looked out the window because I thought one of my neighbors was crying out for help because they sound like they were in such distress, and all I could hear was, help! Help! Help me! Help me! Help me! And it was like I could, my mind kept hearing help. My ears kept hearing help. My heart kept hearing help. And I said, God, is that the women in Ukraine crying out for help? I said, God, is that my brothers and my sisters crying out for help? God, where are those voices coming from? And he let me know that was what he was hearing. He was hearing the women of Zion crying out for help. He was hearing the ministers crying out for help. And it wasn't a vain repetition, but it was them crying at the same time, in the same hour, and even after the fact, your help, my help, the people in Ukraine's help, the people in America's help, the people in the ghetto's help, the people in the White House help. People crying out for help that were in a coma, lying in the hospital from COVID and various sickness and diseases and cancers. And them crying out because their hearts were broken. And them crying out because they were disappointed. With them crying out from the depths of their souls and their spirit because they had been disappointed. from disappointment to disappointment, from grace to grace, from mercy to mercy, from jealousy to jealousy, from mess to mess, from lack of conviction to lack of conviction. He said, and then after that, you started saying, heal God, heal the land. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, but see, in order to truly seek his face, I had to know God back. In December, you had us communing and doing communion with you. In January, you had us praying that whole month. And now, the last day of February, you had me write a flashback. I actually saw us in Mississippi, Ohio, and other states in those old churches with tambourines and washboards, clapping and stomping and singing and dancing and playing the various things that God had given us, because sometimes we had a bass guitar, but as Minister Sylvia said, don't forget about the amplifier. Sometimes we didn't have the bass guitar. We didn't have the amplifier. We didn't have the drums. We didn't have the pianos. All we had was the tambourines and the washboards and the clapping and the stumping and the singing and the dancing. The one thing we did have, whether it was in an old wooden church, is we had the wholehearted praises of God. We had the wholehearted worship of God. We had the wholehearted preached word of God when the Holy Spirit would enter in that place. And you could not help but whatever you was dealing with to feel convicted. You could not help for whatever you were holding on to, the word of God would destroy that thing at the very root, whether it was lust of the flesh, whether it was lust of the eyes, whether it was the pride of life. You couldn't help but let that thing go. But see, the biblical definition of conviction says that it's more than just you feeling ashamed, that it's more than just you being suddenly touched and you got a feeling. But the biblical definition of conviction said it's when God convicts us to a point that he washes you, he washes me, he washes us until we feel then that's more than just a feeling, but it's a product of being as white as snow. And it's because we've been touched by God. It's the fruit of that intimate relationship with God. There's something about intimacy that has nothing to compare to, because there's lust and there's like, but there's intimacy with God that is nothing that anyone could ever say they felt if God wasn't in it. 2 Chronicles 7, verses 9 through 10 says, yet I'm glad now, not because you were hurt and made sorry, but because your sorrow led to repentance and you turned back to God. For you felt a grief such as God meant you to feel, so that you might not suffer loss in anything on our account. For godly sorrow that is in accord with the will of God produces repentance without regret, leading to salvation. But worldly sorrow, the hopeless sorrow of those who do not believe, produces death. We're talking about conviction here, and how it comes to cause us to feel a suffering of loss that causes us to repent. See, the first part of verse 9 says, "Now I rejoice not that we were made sorry or sorrowful." But this type of grief, this type of passion, this type of joy, this type of real pleasure is that makes you go far past that pain of sorrow that you felt. Why? Because now you're getting into the true repentance of God. The one that says, I can't be a sinner anymore. I can't keep practicing sin because of the joy that has been set before me. Because of the joy that's among the angels in heaven. It even goes on to say that for ye were made sorry after a godly sort. There's a sorrow of this world, and there's a sorrow of God that's according to the will of God that each and every one of us have felt. The scripture even goes on to say that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. It's talking about a pleasure, an effect that was produced that wasn't detrimental to you, but it worked in kindness. It worked in a manner that profited you. It worked in a manner that caused you to not be offended by something that God was doing, not to be offended or troubled by what God was doing because he was recovering you. He was restoring you. We're talking about real. We're not talking about the condemnation that we taught on last July, also that we taught on back in 2018. And it's coming back around again, my God. And then in the 10th verse, it says, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation." Godly sorrow. This is more than that natural conscience that we all deal with. This is more than us feeling like something is wrong. This is us knowing that we know that we know that our hearts have shown us the fear of hell, the fear of condemnation that was freed by the grace and the mercy of God. The almighty mercies of God that is connected to his divine instruction. And that's why we seek him, because now we've got a heightened, it's heightened. You know, how they say sometimes, I just knew it. I felt it in my gut. I had a wisdom. I had a discernment. It's been heightened because you've discovered the love of God. You've discovered the pardoning grace and mercy of God. You've discovered the attention that our Lord Jesus has given to us as he sits on the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. You understand the evidence and the enjoyment and the evidence of the repentance of God that is now immovable, is stable, because you repented and you said, I'll never go back to that again. You said this eternal life that God has promised me with him in heaven, that he's even rewarding me while I'm on earth. I am walking in this repentance from God that's made, as the scripture says, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. I don't want the death that Cain had. I don't want the death that Judas had, but I want the life, and that more abundantly, that Jesus has promised us. See, diseases and disorders are temporal. And for the people of God, death is temporal because of the eternal life that we spend with God. Not the things that we are dealing with where someone's been condemned. And they're going to a devil's hell, and it's like they're dying over and over and over again because of the guilt of their sins. See, we know that the conviction that we feel comes from God's Holy Spirit, straight from God, that's sent to help us understand that we're not guilty. We're not guilty because of the blood of Jesus. We're not guilty because of the remorse that he's given us to feel. We're no longer on a guilt trip. We're no longer feeling a deep regret. We're no longer ashamed of the sins that the people try to rehearse in our lives to cause us to feel humiliated and pain and distressed. But we feel conviction. When they come and remind us of the things that we've done, we're reminded of the unctioning of the conviction that God gave us because we're being Christ-like, because the Holy Spirit is unctioning us to return to that intimate fellowship that we have with God that transforms us, that is yet perfecting us from the inside out, that tells us to pray without ceasing, that tells us to fast, that tells us to meditate on God's word and to listen to the very conversations that we have with God so that our life-changing, intimate relationship that we have with God changes our very conversation, changes our behavior, changes our thinking, changes what we think, changes how we behave, changes to a point that we get into a metamorphosis of life that says, what would Jesus do? I know the world tells me to say I'm just saying. I know the world tells me to say that I'm only human. But God is saying this metamorphosis, this transformation that he's putting in our lives makes us kingdom-minded. It makes us want to do the things that they're doing in the kingdom of God. This is our rehearsal. Yeah. It's tearing us away from that stinking thinking. It's drawing us nigher to the steadfast love of God and his mercies that have blotted out all of our transgressions according to Psalms 51. It's caused us to look at the very evil that was in our lives and stop trying to justify it, stop trying to play the blame game. But he's cut out of our heart those things that would try to make us not be in right standing with him. He's reminded us that even according to 1 Corinthians 1, it tells us that our worldly standards of wisdom, it has no power. It tells us about us being convicted and called in account to God and him seeing us through the blood. God gave me a vision where I was in a tub full of the blood, but it was the blood of Jesus. And I wasn't drowning in this blood. Oh, God. I wasn't where I couldn't breathe in this blood, but he was making me anew all over. And when I stuck my head up out of the blood, God couldn't see the sins that I committed. God couldn't see the things that I once was involved in, all of the shame, but he saw the blood of Jesus. I mean, the full conviction of God was all over me. The full repentance of God was all over me. I was able to know that I had been corrected. I was able to know that I had been reproved. I was able to know that God had paid attention to my heart. He had opened up my heart and that every fiber of my total being was already new. The light that he had brought me in, brought me out of the darkness that Satan thought he had me captive in because of the true conviction of God, the conflicts of what's to of the accuser and the excuses that I was making for this or that, according to Romans, had been erased. My God, I had learned to hold on to my full confession of I was going to lay aside every weight that so easily beset me, and that I was drawing nigher to God, which meant that I was getting free, and he was perfecting me from the sins and the diseases of this world. My God, for the sins of this world are a dis-ease that was sent to destroy each and every one of us. But the truth of God had come so that we could be set free from the conviction of God, from the conviction of the truth of God, because every true believer knows that by his authority, he has freed us and taken those sins and thrown them into the sea of forgetfulness. But while we're in that tub that's full of the blood of Jesus and he's cleansing us of all righteousness, unrighteousness, and selfishness, because, see, we have some righteousness that's of this world. But see, the truth is he wants us to have his righteousness. See, because the world will tell you your righteousness is this and your righteousness is that. But in this righteousness that he gives us, it has all power. It has all authority. This salvation plan that he gives us through the conviction of God is what Minister Margo had prayed about, restoration back to God. God is calling us back to that relationship. He's calling us back to that thing that draws us nigher to him. He's calling us back to that repentance that makes us say, oh, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I'm not playing with it no more. I'm not toying with the cares of life anymore. I'm not toying with pride that teaches me about my self-worth. I'm not toying with pride that makes me think that I'm commissioned to do this and I'm commissioned to do that. No, 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 no. The pride that is in this world makes us walk in a spirit that Adam and Eve and Lucifer had fell down to. They were consumed, so much so that Eve was able to commit sin and to get Adam to do it with her. Lucifer was full of so much pride until it resulted in him being cast down to hell. Don't you know that when you're convicted, you no longer want to covet what your neighbor got. You no longer want to covet what your sisters and brothers got. You no longer want to compete with them to do this or that. But now you're saying we can do this thing together because we are the sons and daughters of the Most High God. And what he's done for me, he'll do for you. You no longer want the sexual pleasures and perversions of this world, but you want the agape love of God. You no longer want revenge or a desire to do wrong or injustice. You no longer want to think that your thing that you're doing, that anger thing, is all because you allowed it to escalate into doing something wrong instead of saying, what would Jesus do? You no longer are seeking to be excessive in your drinking and your food and your drunkenness, because some drunkenness is more than wine. Some drunkenness is in the cares of this world, drunkenness in shopping, drunkenness in lying, drunkenness in doing someone wrong, drunkenness in evil and sadness, drunkenness in possessions and success and virtues and talents, drunkenness in saying, I have the right to dwell in this pity party. My God, I have the right to be lazy. This is my lazy day. This is my sluggish day. My. Make sure that it's not an unnecessary, uncalled for sluggishness. Now, see, many of us forget that some of the behaviors and things that we say not only grieve God, but they grieve His Holy Spirit. Not only grieve His Holy Spirit, but they grieve Jesus. He's making intercession for each and every one of us that we would not be led astray. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians 4:29-32 talks about using foul and abusive language. It talks about bitterness and rage and anger and harsh words. It talks about slander. It talks about malicious behavior. But it also reminds us how God wants us to be kind to one another. He wants us to be tender-hearted to one another. He wants us to be forgiving. He wants us to not do things that will cause someone pain or sorrow or distress. And believe it or not, saints, we're called to a higher calling as walking epistles read of men. What we do, whether it's to another believer or a non-believer, people want to blame God for what we do. Let's watch what we're saying about one another. Let's watch the dirty stories and the profanities and the double-mindedness that we've been part of. Whether someone thinks that it's okay for them to do it because of this or that. I remember at one time I had a relative, I used to call her Messy and make it rhyme with her name. And God had to teach me not to do that, but to be authentically saying, God, what do I need to do so that I can not only pray for her, but pray for her in a way that I begin to love her, even with all of the mess. Because, Jesus, you're sitting on the right hand of the Father, and whether I'm thinking it or saying it, the language that I'm using is wrong. God allowed me to write on Facebook this one other thing. He said, put respect on the name you call me and others. Even the titles. Where is the honor? If you are wondering where the honor is, if you are wondering where the respect is, could it be that you've lowercased it? You haven't capitalized it when it comes to this person or that person? Well, God has ordained each and every one of you listening on today. He's charging each and every one of you listening on today that we will no longer call people demeaning words, whether it's a call on their life or because of the call on your life. Let's put honor and respect on what we're calling one another. There was a Dr. Frances Crisp Wesley. She said, we're the only people, she said on, but I'm going to say in this entire planet, who have been taught to sing and praise our demeanor. She says, I'm a pregnant dog, but she said the word. She says, I'm a garden tool, but she said the word. She says, I'm a gangster. I'm a thug. I'm a thug. I'm a dog. If you can train people to demean and degrade themselves, you can oppress them forever. You can even program them to kill themselves and one another. She didn't say one another. I did. And they won't even understand what happened. Isn't that what we see in these rap songs? She's no longer beautiful. What's her name? Mary J. Blige says she woke up in the morning. She saw that she was beautiful. Nah, people walking around with things on their neck calling themselves these demeaning words. There's people that are bitter. There's people that have resentment in their very spirit that they refuse to reconcile. They're pessimists. They're complainers. They're the pity party managers and throwers. There's a conflict going on with them. They're always arguing. They're always fighting. They uncheck their sins. They leave them unchecked. They want them to be unchecked because then they can use that unrepented thing of saying, I'm only human. He or she deserved it. Did you deserve the forgiveness that God gave you? Because of Jesus, it's a gift that's undeserving. So if God can forgive you, if God can forgive me, why are we walking around in this uncontrolled, what I call Mr. and Mrs. road rage of life mentality? There are some of us that are walking around. We can't worship God in spirit and in truth because we're trying to get the vengeance that God said is his. We're trying to do this work for him. We're not going before God saying, your will, your way, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. We're not saying, be it unto me according to your word. We're not asking him for his wisdom. For you said, God, if any man lack wisdom, that you would give it and that you would give it liberally unbraided. We're not asking God, God, help me to walk in your truth. Abba, Father, Daddy, God, everything's in that the world says is impossible is in your hands. You can do it. Someone said to think, and the T is it truthful? The H is it helpful? The I is it inspiring? The N is it necessary? The K is it kind? So while you're thinking about you have the right to say this or you have the right to say that, what would Jesus say? Even if it's truthful, is it threatening? Is it something that would hurt them? Even if you think it's helpful, what was it done in? Was it done or said in love? Is it inspiring them to live for God or to blame God? Was that even necessary? And I know that you know if it was kind or not. So let's allow the conviction of God to help us not be wounded people that wound other people. And that would not cause us to be a forgiven people that won't give forgiveness. Let's not grieve the Holy Spirit, and let's not grieve one another. In Jesus' name. I'll turn the program back over to Minister Sheila if she's unable to speak or whoever is available for this program on today.
Well, thank God. This is Minister Margot again. I'd just like to thank and praise God for the word on today. And I'd simply like to say a word of prayer for Apostle-elect. Lord, we thank you for the word. We thank you for your vessel. We ask you, God, to replenish her. All that she's given out, Lord, we ask you to replenish it. We ask you that there be no backlash. We ask that you simply restore, renew, and refine those things in her that she has before you. Thank you, God, for allowing her to be faithful to you and to her assignment in this ministry. And we give you the praise, Lord, because we know that we love you and we know that you hear our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. So if there's anyone else that's on the line that would like to say something, I think our lines are open. So if there is another word, a comment, a prayer request, if you're on the line, please speak now.
Okay. Good morning. This is Minister Sheila Kaiser. I just want to say I was listening to the program. I thank you for the message, the learning, the understanding. I just want to say thank you, Minister Margot McCoy and Apostle-elect for helping me along with my part in my absence. Like I say, I thank you. I'm sorry about missing out, but I was listening, and I just want to say, Lord, I thank you for the message. I thank you for Apostle. I thank you for Ministers Margot McCoy, Ministers Sylvia Kaiser-Wright. Lord, I just thank you for my bloodline family and also my spiritual family. And excuse me for talking loud, but I just want to get a word in and say I thank you, and God is the one and the only one head of my life and bless me through a trip to be to make it there and back safely with no accidents, no incidents. That's all nice and giving the blessing good God had blessed me with. And I just want to say thank you, thank you. And excuse me, and I accept my apology because I just want to try to get my word in, my blessings in, my thank you in, my praise in, and to let my family know I thank you for loving me and let God for us being together to love each other before the noise started in my background. I just want to thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank you, Minister Margot, for taking over for me in my absence. I just want to say thank you. Have a blessed one. Back to you.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God, Minister Sheila. No apology is needed. We are happy and blessed just to hear your voice today. We thank God for the journey mercy that he supplied to you. We thank him for your commitment to this ministry and for your love and relationship with him and your dedication to praying for your family and this ministry. Thank you for joining us and speaking up today. We thank God for you. Is there another? Well, okay, we thank God again for this message that we were given today, the echoes in prayer. And we want to make sure as we go through this day and the rest of this week that we are listening carefully to God as we pray and that we are echoing what it is that he is giving us, that he's putting in our spirit. We thank him for the word in regards to conviction, and that conviction is due to a relationship with God. We thank him for discernment that is due to repentance. And we thank him because we are in a state of blessing, and that the apostle said death is temporal for the people of God. Isn't that something? It is a passing thing. It's not something we have to worry about or we have to fear. Death is temporal for the people of God. That hit me. That's wonderful. I'm going to hold on to that as I go through. I'm asking each of you to do the same as we see all the things that are going around us, all of the signs of the end times. We don't have to fear because God told us death is temporal. He's with us. Do not fear. Do not dismay. Do not be afraid, because he said he would never leave us or forsake us. God is good. God is good. And we thank and praise God for the word. We thank for the all of those who contributed today. So on behalf of this ministry, on Apostle-elect Cecilia Kaiser and her co-host, Minister Sheila Kaiser and Minister Brandon Kaiser, thank you for joining us this morning, and thank you as you listen to this message, either today or in the archives. And please continue to join us every Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time for Let's Talk. And we also invite you to join us each Monday evening at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. And this Monday, we will be honored and blessed with the words from Dr. Serena Wright, who also is a published author of The Last Prescription You'll Ever Need. So we are going to wait in anticipation for that word from Dr. Serena Wright on tomorrow at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. The host tomorrow will be Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright. And so we're thanking God for her on today. We didn't hear from her, but we know that she's blessed, and we look forward to hearing her on tomorrow evening. Also, please join us on Friday, this coming Friday at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. We will be listening on both Blog Talk and also on Facebook. And I believe that Prophet Antoine Thomas will be our speaker. If not, I'm sure we can look forward to the word that will come from Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright. She's always there to host and facilitate that program. So we're asking for God's mercy, his goodness and mercy to follow each of us as we go through this week. And remember the foundational scripture of this ministry, which is Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So, Apostle, if you would offer our closing prayer, we thank God again for this first Sunday. Thank you for joining us. Apostle?
Amen. Father God, we come before you with repentant hearts, minds, and total beings. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for the stripes that he bore for each and every one of us. We thank you for your salvation plan that reminds us that death has no victory over us, for Jesus has those keys, and he's sitting on the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. Thank you for the keys to bind and loose. But most of all, thank you for conviction. Thank you for your agape love. Thank you for the blessings of the Lord that make it one rich and add no sorrow. God, bless everyone on this line. Bless Minister Margot. Bless Minister Sheila. Bless Minister Sylvia. Bless Dr. Wright. Bless Pastor Choi. Bless Reverend Lawrence. Bless Prophet Antoine. Bless all of the men and women of God that are connected to this ministry, that are connected to you. Have your way in our lives. And we thank you for the many blessings that you're about to pour out on each and every one of us in the year of 2020, where there's triple threes, and we love that it's connected to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.